This is Day to Day. I'm Deborah Amos.
I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Chat.
Alex? Alex? You've been gone so long. How are you? Where are you?
Hi, Madeline. Yes, I have been away. I'm in Little Rock, Arkansas, actually. I'm with a family member who's undergoing medical treatment here. But in the time that I've been here, I've been reminded of something that happened in Little Rock 50 years ago, something I remember as a child. And last week in Little Rock, I went and found someone who participated in that event. Her name is Minnie Jean Brown Trickey.
I'm born in Little Rock. I'm going to be 66. I'm one of the Little Rock Nine, the black kids who tried to desegregate Central High School in 1957.
I think this was the first big news event of my life that I can actually recall. It was happening to children like me. I was just 10 years old, but I knew this was important. And it still feels important. I sat on Minnie Jean Brown's front porch with her last week and listened to her tell me what happened.
My mother won't talk about this to anyone. She says that it causes her great distress to think about it, so she won't do any interviews ever. Yeah, I feel that that's a great loss because there are things I'd like to figure out because I'm, 50 years later, I'm still figuring that out.
Was it a family decision for you to try to be one of the Little Rock Nine?
No, actually, it came on the intercom at the end of school at my black school, Horace Mann, and says, if you're in the Central District, and you want to go to Central, sign up. And I did. And then I sort of skipped home and said, oh, yeah, I signed up to go to Central. And my mother swallowed hard and said, oh, well, I'll talk to your father. And the rest is truly history.
Well, it was history. This is 1957. It's just 3 years after the Supreme Court's famous desegregation ruling, Brown versus Board of Education, but very few schools actually had desegregated. Little Rock, certainly by Southern standards, was a pretty progressive city, and the school board here said that it was going to try to comply. That summer, everyone wondered how things would go.
People say, well, how could your parents let you do that? Well, first of all, there was no thought that it would be the way it turned out to be. There was not even any real understanding of the depth of racism and the institutional quality that was so powerful.
But you were living in Little Rock.
I was living in the Jim Crow South, and part of living a segregated life is to know your place and don't go where you're not allowed. We got on the back of the buses. We had a little trouble trying on clothes. We bought shoes in the back of the store. The restrooms were called white ladies, colored women. You sat in the balcony at the theater, the ones we could go to. But we're hiding from the Russians under the desks, and we're pledging and singing anthems about liberty and justice for all. That stuff is very powerful. So that rhetoric, that brainwashing overrides your rational thought. So I, as a black child in Jim Crow South, had no sense of the danger I was in. Now, I had a real wake-up call when Emmett Till was lynched.
Emmett Till, that's another name from the history of that era. He was a young black man from Chicago who'd gone to Mississippi to spend the summer 2 years earlier. He'd whistled at a white woman and been murdered for it. But if his killers meant to intimidate Southern blacks, it didn't work with Minnie Jean.
Because I had this sort of mistaken thing that, oh, if they just get to know me, or if we get to know each other, we can get rid of all this stuff. But his death really scared me, and I understood sort of that I really needed to, I had to stay at my place, or I too could be killed for something really stupid.
The summer goes on. There was a tremendous amount of foment kind of behind the scenes. The governor, the superintendent of schools, everybody said, what are we going to do and how are we going to do this? And really, most of the power was trying to figure out how to delay, how to get things stopped.
Yeah, on the day that the number of kids who were selected, and I put that in quotes, then we started getting hate calls. So hint, hint.
Your dad, was he working as a mason then?
Yeah, and he had a little business. But after my name was published in the paper, the hate calls started coming, and he didn't get any more work calls. People would say, we're coming, we're going to grind your bones, we're going to firebomb your house, we're going to kill you, we're going to... So that's how diabolical it was, and that's how really evil it was. It was American terrorism at its best, and that is exactly the word for what it was.
When the governor calls out the National Guard, says, I'm going to have these soldiers there to keep the peace, and you go to school that day, what are you expecting?
Well, I remember being horrified on Labor Day when he made that announcement, but I didn't really know what it meant, and I'm thinking, what peace are we keeping, and what is the problem? What is it I don't know? Getting to school and having the soldiers stop us from going in, that was quite shocking. And we're really, I think, I'll speak for myself. I was really confused, and it knocked out all that rhetoric. It knocked out all those beliefs. It knocked out all those anthems and pledges. It was. It ended my belief. Which hasn't really returned. So, that I was not safe, that I was in great danger in this place that I'd put my sort of belief in and my faith in and my idea of who I was. And that was the end of that belief.
That's Minnie Jean Brown Trickey, one of the Little Rock Nine, remembering 50 years ago this summer. She went on to get a degree in sociology. She had kids. She moved to Canada for a while. She's back now in the U.S. and back in Little Rock. You'll hear more from her in the coming weeks and months because this story went on, and it changed this country. It changed all of us. You'll hear more from me again soon, too. This is Alex Chadwick for Day to Day in Little Rock, Arkansas.